I'd like to welcome and introduce our, it says second, but I'm going to go with first speaker, Todd, from the Miracles in the Mountains group of Narcotics. Let's give a round of applause. Yeah!
Good morning. I'm an act. My name's Todd.
Todd.
I'd like to thank, everybody for coming out and, express my gratitude. I really just wanted to express my gratitude for, this retreat and the people who put it on, who have put it on, the people who continue to do it, the people who have done it, the people, that are getting into it. It's an important part of my recovery. It's something that I know we all feel this way, but I usually don't feel this way about shit. Like, I don't, you know what I mean? I'm not, she said, are you spiritually refreshed and glad to be alive? I said, I'm glad to be alive. You know what I mean? And, I don't know, maybe someday I express my excitement and, gratitude for recovery by serving. You know what I mean? That's just the addict I am. You know what I mean? I like to participate in the process. When I first got here, they told me I didn't know whether I was going to stay clean or not. You know what I mean? I never had really tried to stay clean. I was bumping in and out of the rooms, but that was mostly just because I was so far down the line. I got in some legal trouble, so they sent me to treatment and so on and so forth. So I was kind of just trying to control my using. In between using, I was going to meetings, right? And like those periods of time, like it might be 30 days or 45 days, and I'd use, and then it would be 30 days, and then it would be, every 3 weeks, and then it would be every day, and I went through that cycle over and over and over again, and I just couldn't stop using. Somebody told me, I had used again. By this time I had a daughter, a baby daughter that I wasn't seeing, that I kind of abandoned. There was one time I showed up to, I was going to crash at this guy's house. I had used with him, but he was in recovery. And, I was going to crash at his house. I walked over to his house and, he just looked at me and he said, Todd, our literature doesn't say this. He said, but you might be one of those guys that just don't get this, And, that was such a shock to me because it really never crossed my mind. I'm not a big thinker, right? I don't really think deeply into shit. I just thought, well, when I want to get clean, I'll get clean. You know what I mean? It's, everybody's kind of doing it. I just don't want to get clean. But then when I looked at it, that made me look at it. The reality of the situation is that I wasn't staying clean and that I really didn't know whether I could stay clean or not because I never had been, right? And, it was just a big rush of thoughts and, projections came across me. And, I just saw myself for the rest of my days doing what I was doing. It was like road rash, skimming along the blacktop. You know what I mean? Hitting for, I had no hope. There was no hope, right? And, that scared me. So it wasn't too far after that that I did fall off the table and I got scooped up and they got me to treatment. You know what I mean? That's something that I'm really resistant over. And I got out and then like, I didn't know whether, I really didn't know whether I could stay clean. You know what I mean? So I, in retrospect, it seemed like I was doing a lot of work to stay clean, but in actuality, I was just following direction. And I believe the God of my understanding was really taking care of me. It was like the God, like I made a good decision. I made a good decision. And then after that good decision, things started to fall in place for me. You know what I mean? I'm not one to, I don't buy into the, I'm a chosen one. You know what I mean? Because my brother was hit and killed by a drunk driver. So he, you know what I mean? I immediately say, so he's fucking not. You know, I think we all have the opportunity for this. And it's just by, one good decision, right? That I was able to get in the flow of things and to follow the direction. You know what I mean? I believe everybody has the opportunity to get this. And, I have a home group. It's called Miracles in the Mountains. We have a Thursday beginners meeting and a Friday step and tradition meeting at 7:30. It's on 7th and Sarah Street in Stroudsburg. My home group's very important to me. It's where I learned everything I know about relationships. That's where my service started in Narcotics Anonymous. And, my sponsor told me to hug the coffee pot, get a commitment. And then the people that I was blessed to be around in early recovery told me about, at that point, like you went to meetings, but you went to every service meeting too. It was kind of an automatic thing. You know what I mean? It wasn't really a choice. You just went to all the meetings. And at that time, we had 8 meetings in the Poconos. We had one nooner on Wednesday, and then we had night meetings. And the committee meetings were, would fill up a Saturday and Sunday and stuff like that, you know, and then during the week we'd have these meetings, and I got involved with, at 6 months clean, I had a steady H&I commitment. Going into a rehab, you know, they just cut me loose, you know, and we started to, go into a jail, and the service, like through my home group and my service, going to area service, that prompted me. It didn't prompt me. It actually made me start writing on a first step, because, you know, going to those meetings and everything as a newcomer, like I was like, how can everybody leave this place? It's all fucked up. You know what I mean? We need to make some decisions around here. You know, it's a fucking mess, man. You know, and my sponsor, you know, he just kind of smiled and, you know, hugged me. He said, maybe we'll start writing on your first step. And I think this is a good time, Todd. And I said, well, we better do something. You know what I mean? We got to make a move here, dude. And that's kind of what my service has been. It's a matter of, I don't surrender quietly. You know what I mean? I don't do much quietly, right? But it's my passion. I think, it's important. You know what I mean? And, when we're talking the life-saving program, like, that ain't, for me, that's no bullshit. You know what I mean? Because I've seen people come in. I know how I came in. I know how my life is now. And I know, I have a really good feeling what I would have become, what would have become of me if I didn't find Narcotics Anonymous. Like, I went from treatment, they pushed the other fellowship, and I could not make the leap of identification necessary to stay in that program. I didn't understand. He was talking about John Barleycorn or something coming around the corner, and I thought, the fuck are you talking about? You know what I mean? I didn't understand it, right? I didn't, and I was, not the open-minded person you see in front of you today, okay? I was not, And, you know, and I just could not make that leap of identification. So when I found Narcotics Anonymous, I found, you know, a place that I could be myself, that, you know, the people understood me. And, you know, the 12th step for me, you know, it's an expression of my gratitude. When we talk about, you know, without the newcomer, this program will die, right? Without us being an attraction, going out and through H&I and PI, getting out there, get our names out there, right? Without us being an attraction, newcomers will not come, and we will, you know, my home group is vibrant because we have newcomers, right? We have people, we're constantly getting new members. Whether they stay or not, they're still members, right? And, you know, I think it's really important when we talk about practicing the principles in all our affairs. I'm a business owner. I have a company. And, like, I deal with a lot of people, professionals, right? And, like, what you see is what they get, right? I'm not any different. But I have relationships outside of Narcotics Anonymous with men that are, you know, they're bankers, they're attorneys, they're friggin', you know, developers, you know, and I still can't believe that, like, they come to my, you know, if ever I have a question, if ever I need something, they're very good friends. They're very good friends. And that's something that I never really knew I wanted and never thought I'd ever have because of who I am. You know what I mean? And, like, that's a gift that Narcotics Anonymous has given me, you know? I just wanted to make sure that I talked about when we practice those principles in all our affairs, like, you know, sometimes, a lot of times in H&I, I'm on the phone line too, and my name is out there. You know, I guess it's over time, your name kind of gets out there, and they kind of, people know who you're about. So now my phone is, my number is getting passed around to, like, a lot of mothers and fathers, right? And, you know, right. You know, and like, you know, I pray the hardest when I'm talking to them, because I can talk to an addict, right? I know what the, you know what I mean? It's not, you know, I say what I say, right? I know how to do it, but it's talking to these people in a manner that's true to me, right? True to us, right? But yet encouraging to them to go to, you know, the program that is designed for them. Like, I don't have any answers for them. You know what I mean? The hardest thing I ever did is, like, you know, well, he's going to die. And the hardest thing for me to say is, yeah, you're right. Because anything else would be a freaking lie. You know what I mean? It's integrity. It's about integrity. And those are the hardest phone calls that I have, you know, and I'm not even talking to addicts, right? But like, I have an immense gratitude for you know, I carry, you know what I mean? I used to get nervous. I guess I still get nervous sometimes, but I have no expectations of what I'm going to do up here, so it's really good that way. But I used to get nervous, and I'd say, man, I'm nervous, I have to share, or whatever. And somebody told me, he said, what are you nervous about? I said, well, you know, I got to get up in front of... He said, it's your story, right? And I said, yeah. He said, that's all you got is your story. Just tell your story. You know what I mean? And that, for some reason, that really, you know, hit home with me. It's like, yeah, that's all I got to do is tell... I don't have to... You know what I mean? I don't have to. My story was good enough for me. You know what I mean? And that's good enough. You know what I mean? I don't have to make it, or I don't have to, you know, say it, or, you know, give you something to go home with. Motherfucker, I don't know what to tell you. You know, this is my experience, right? And, you know, I have a really good friend of mine. In early recovery, I was attracted to guys that sounded like me, that looked like me, that, you know what I mean? Like I thought, okay, that's a guy that used like me, you know what I mean? I'll believe him. You know, all this, you know, all these other guys, I don't know what they were talking about, right? But, you know, I could identify, and this one particular guy, and he had a really horrible reputation of being a prick, you know what I mean? So I was attracted to him, right? Needless to say. And, you know, he had his ups and downs, of course, and, you know, he's out in Maui, and he was diagnosed, he had melanoma, and he was diagnosed with brain cancer. And he just had brain surgery, like, maybe a month ago. And, like, two tumors, and it was, you know, it was really something. And he was, you know, he was involved in a lot of this extracurricular things that that guys with time sometimes get, like the way it was, and, you know, we need to eliminate world service as we know it, and things like that. And it's not necessarily, you know, a bad thing, but I'm not going to spend my time with it. You know what I mean? You guys want to do it? Good for you. Know, go ahead. You know, I'm not having a problem with that, because my home group's going to open up, right? But he spent a lot of time and energy on that, and because of this, he's had a change of. They were in touching his brain, okay? They were in their guy's hands were touching and cutting his brain, right? So I think that has a tendency to give a person a different type of perspective on things, and he's always been this way with me. You know, that's what nobody understands. Like, he's such a prick and such a, you know, a hard ass. But with me, I would call him through the years as a newcomer and say, you know, this is the deal. This is what I'm going to... And invariably, 100% of the time, he would always take the high road and say, Todd, you can't do that. I'd say, what do you mean? We're talking about you. You can't do that, you know? He would take the high road with me. And what I hear today, when he talks, he has changed. He's lost a lot because of, and, you know, I can identify with that. Losing a lot because who you are, you know what I mean? Being so fucking hard that, you know, that you push people away, right? He talks different, but I can still hear in him the person that I would call with, 6 months clean and say, Gene, I can't, I'm confused all the time. I don't know what the fuck to do, man. I'm confused all the time. I don't know what to do. And I didn't know what to do. Right? And he said, Todd, for you, confusion is a higher state of consciousness. Which I responded with an F you, right? Because I thought, you know what I mean? I'm serious, you know, motherfucker. And, but, you know, looking back, how could I not be confused? I was used to doing what I always did. I got high, right? I reacted. I didn't respond, I reacted, right? And if without that, I didn't have anything else to do. Like, without those coping mechanisms that I had, right? Without those, I didn't know what to do. What do I do? You said that. What do I do now? Because I normally would have said this, right? And I was just walking around confused all the time. And that type of, that type of love that that I was given in early recovery by those guys. And I've had, everybody has their thing. And I, like, a year ago, I had something happen to me that was devastating. It was devastating, right? And my phone calls, my first instinctive, it was almost like instinctively, I called those three phone calls that I would call it 90 days clean, you know, that I called it 6 months clean, 1 year clean, 2 years, you know what I mean? I called those same three freaking guys, you know what I mean? like out of habit. I was numb. And I just, I just dialed those guys' numbers and I told them what was going on with me, and they said it was going to be okay. The step process has been, it's brought me to a point that, like, in my, I feel that the steps are laid out for me to become, a better servant in Narcotics Anonymous. Like, it clears the way for me to help addicts, right? And if I'm doing that, everything else in my life works out, right? But it clears my, it clears me out of the way in order for me to be a better, because there was a time you asked me a question, I told it, you know, I would answer it the way I would answer it, not the way, I would never evaluate how I should communicate to you or to you. I would just tell you the freaking answer. And if you didn't like it, go ask fucking somebody else. You know what I mean? That was my, for years, that was the way I was. And then as I, you know, as I went to meetings and kind of heard some things, you know, I thought, I found that it was my responsibility to, when asked, where we share our experience, strength, and hope, when asked, right? And when I was asked, it was my responsibility to communicate in a manner that you could understand. Not that I, you know what I mean? That was my arrogance, you know what I mean? And I'm still, you could, you know what I mean? I'm still who I am, and, you know, that's probably not going to change. But what we can do is I can hone the message to the point, no matter if I'm talking to a director in a treatment center or a newcomer, like, you know, it's my responsibility to represent Narcotics Anonymous in a way, the best way that I can. You know what I mean? I'm not going to be perfect. I'm far from perfect. There's a lot of times that, you know, like I'm at the end of every conversation, I apologize. You know what I mean? You know, that type of shit. You know, sorry if I fucking... But that's what I have. I'd just like to, again, thank everybody. Edgar, it's always good to see you. You know what I mean? When you're coming through on 80, stop in. You know what I mean? You're trying for 15 years now. You know what I mean? But, you know, I'd just like to, you know, thank the committee and thank the retreat. Thanks for allowing me to share.
Stroudsburg. Whoever heard of that place? I don't know. All right. Well, thank you very much for sharing your experience and your strength with us today. Now, we would like to introduce somebody from the New Beginnings. What? New Beginnings for Women. Okay. I could almost couldn't read that. I give you Devin. There's the part. Get.
What's that?
Here's the part.
Good morning. My name is Devin. I'm an addict.
Hi, Devin.
Thanks for sharing, Todd. God, I love it here. I feel, for some reason, I feel really surreal this morning. It's probably because I had, I think, cumulatively, like maybe 3 hours of sleep the whole weekend. It's just one of those things. I'm not going to go into details, but it's just, it does kind of make things back like it used to be. You know what I mean? It's a little weird. And nonetheless, it never, ever fails. When we got here this morning, Rich was talking about how every year it's like, oh, this is the best year yet, and I feel so great, and all the speakers are the best speakers at, and it's because we're here, and I feel exactly the same. And I wonder sometimes how I can, like, I know when I'm home, you know, Todd, and this is the only place that Todd and I travel every year, you know. Well, that's not true. We actually go to Marlikna too. We go to our regional convention, but this is the only other event that we travel every year, and we've been doing it together for, what, like 13 years at least. And it's such a special, special place, and it's still, you know, it kind of represents the whole rest of my recovery. Like, when I am living my life, like, I do the best that I can sometimes I'm in the zone, feeling that, you know, like I'm in the flow of God's grace. I'm in the, you know, there's magic happening and everything's good. But a lot of times it's real life too. You know, it's just real life and things come up and, you know, we're working and struggling to practice these principles in all our affairs. They're not effortlessly coming. You know what I mean? We got to work to practice them, you know. And every time I come here, I think the same thing as Rich. I think, God, I wish we could do this every day. You know, it's like every time we come here, there's something so special about this place. You know, I can't tell you how many people have touched my soul from being here. You know, before I go any further, I do want to say that, because I'll forget, and I don't want to forget. There's a couple of things that, you know, besides service, you know, there's a lot of ways to serve in Narcotics Anonymous. And the 12 step has a lot of components to it. And I have to struggle. Like, I'm the kind of person who's like a stepologist. Like, I'll be freaking taking that shit apart, looking at, you know what I mean? Because that's my old, like, our old tendencies die hard. Like, my tendency, the way that I live my life, even when I was using, was to assess the situation, figure out, you know, how was I going to, you know, get news and find ways and means to get more. I was going to manipulate this person, get money over here. How was I going to do this? I had, like, my mind going in 16 different directions all the time. And I thought if I was smart enough, I would be able to avoid that pain and discomfort. You know what I mean? Somehow keep moving smoothly and use and feel comfortable and good all the time, right? That's always my goal. I want to feel good all the freaking time, right? Still do, right? I accept that that's not reality, you know, but I still want it, you know. Where was I going with that? Anyway, what I wanted to say before I forgot was that, I started going into how complicated I can freaking make things. That's one of the ways that my disease screws me, right? It uses my, you know, my disease of addiction, you know, speaks to me in my own voice, and it's just as smart as my spirit is. In fact, it's usually, you know, a lot more cerebral, a lot more intellectual, you know what I mean? What I've come to find out, like we talk about the 12th step, is having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, right? That is the most important component for me in this whole process. No matter how much I still default to trying to figure it the fuck out, right? Like, I want to figure it out because it makes me feel safe and comfortable. I want to pick it apart and figure out, okay, this is what this step says. This is what this person does. If I just collect enough information and do that, then I'll be safe, right? It's this fearful default, right, that I forget, you know, my second step. I forget that I can relax because I'm in the care of. Like, all I got to do is make a decision today and I'm okay. But one of the things about that I wanted to mention, which I'll freaking just get over with now, right, is that one of the ways that I learned about service early on, Todd and I shared that home group, you know, when I first got clean. The last time I got clean was 1997, September, this next month, right? It'll be, God willing, 17 years back, you know what I mean? And let me tell you, that's a whole other story, right? We got CDs on that, right? Story. And it's a long story. I got a long story in recovery of trying to get through my thick head, trying to get through this stubbornness to allow that spiritual awakening, you know, to happen. And, you know, learning about service, you know, it's been a road for me because I'm generally, I don't want to say I'm a selfish person because I, you know what I mean? I have selfish components. I'm self-centered in a lot of ways. And there were a lot of times when I never realized that. It took me a long time working through the step process to realize how self-centered I was because my self-centeredness was very codependent. And I was always taking care of other people. So it made me feel like I wasn't selfish at all. You know what I mean? And, but I was, you know, my motives were really selfish. And a lot of it had to do with, like, you know, you needed to react the way I needed you to react. Right. Cause if it wasn't unconditional, it wasn't like I just did shit for you and, you know, you could do whatever you want with it. You know what I mean? If I was helping you fix your freaking life, for God's sakes, you ought to behave a certain way. Right. So in any case, we had this home group. that I can't believe, you know, how blessed we were to have that. We have like 6 people in our home group. God, the most diverse personalities ever, right? Like, it was me and Todd and 4 other people. And it was, you know, like he said, it was a small area when we got clean in the Poconos in 97. It wasn't very many meetings. It wasn't very many people. It was the same group of people that went to every single meeting. So it wasn't like you were going to see different people somewhere else and you could say one thing here and went, like, everybody knew everything because you were together all the time at every service committee meeting, at every meeting. That's the way it was. And man, you should, we had to start putting a cap on our business meetings because we'd be, you know, we'd be there till midnight. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? But it was such a beautiful thing to have people who gave a shit. You know what I mean? Who cared enough about the message of recovery and cared enough about how to carry that message and what was important to help convey that message to save lives, you know, and that taught me a lot. And, you know, as whatever Todd says, you know what I mean? You know, Todd will say whatever he says, and he's one of the people I admire the most, especially in service. You know, he's one of the most selfless people I know, as far as that goes. Like, and he taught me a lot about, you know, I would see, he's not a kind of person who's going to tell you about service, but if you watch, you know what I mean? No matter what everybody else was doing and talking and all that other shit, he's putting the chairs away, breaking the chairs out, making the coffee, doing everything behind it, and he still does, you know what I mean, to the best of his ability. And that taught me a lot about commitment to, you know, to recovery, to the addict, and just, like, doing your part, you know, doing your part. But to me, I think, again, like, to go back to the 12th step, I think what, you know, because I'm, like, almost psychotic without sleep here, I'm like, I haven't, you know, it was a blessing because I thought, I can't really think of it. I mean, I start for a second thinking, I better come up with something to fall back on in case I go blank up here, right? But then as soon as I do, my head starts spinning and I know that I start going to my disease. And I just think, you know what? I got to just trust. I got to just trust because every single time if I get in there too much, it's going to be too much me. And, like Ty was sharing about, man, I remember my first doing service commitments ever, my first time sponsoring people. Like, what a freaking terror it was for me. Like, I had been given some stuff, and I'm an enthusiastic, I'm a cheerleader kind of girl. Like, that's just the way it is. Because this shit's, you know, I got a long story of miracles. You know what I mean? A lot of hopelessness and a lot of restoration. And I see, and I have a strong desire to give that to other people. And when I see people feeling hopeless or people struggling with faith or whatever it is, like, I want to help. Like, I do. And that's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. Sometimes, like, I've tempered it now with the difference between attraction and promotion. Like, I'm getting better and better with being able to just fan the flame of desire, but let go a little bit. Because if you stay here long enough, you recognize that most people aren't going to stay. And that's a sad fact. But when I say, that's my experience. You know what I mean? More people stay now than ever before. You know what I mean? Our area has grown unbelievably, and it's a beautiful thing. And lots of people stay, and people who, you know, have whatever, higher bottoms, all that other stuff. There's younger people coming in, people who don't have to go through that shit are there, and that's beautiful. Still, there's people coming through the door and leaving, coming through the door and leaving all the time. And maybe even more now, because Narcotics Anonymous is more well known. So people are showing up in treatment because that's the thing to do. But you know what? I don't need to worry about who gets the message and who doesn't get the message. That isn't my responsibility. And, like, I just am here to, you know, like Todd said, share my experience, strength, and hope. The way that it's most powerfully been conveyed to me and most effectively been conveyed to me is the way people live. Like, that to me is the most powerful way of carrying the message. The last time I used, I had 7 years clean, and I had worked pretty hard, and I thought, like, I had worked on a lot of stuff. And I got a lot of freedom and I got a lot of healing. And, you know, there were lots of things I didn't take care of, but there were lots of things I did take care of. And the hardest part was that I underestimated the disease of addiction. I didn't know that as I continued to go through my life and recover, that it never goes away. It never, ever goes away. And so when I started to get on with my life, thinking that I had, you know, gleaned enough information and gleaned enough, like, practices of recovery to keep me safe enough so that I didn't have to go to meetings all the time, like, I didn't know the sneaky, insidious way that it would seep into my life. And it ended up that, you know, after 7 years clean, you know, clean, recovering clean, not just abstinent, man. Like, I was clean. You know what I mean? This is what I learned. Like, I remember hearing people say, I relapsed. Oh, I must have never worked the steps. And I'm like, that's not my experience. Like, I worked hard. I had an understanding. You know what I mean? It's a daily reprieve. If I don't keep that up, the disease is waiting. And it took me, right? So I was lost using for a couple of years. And back in 87, I had gotten diagnosed with HIV. That was one of those things I just didn't deal with. I dealt with a lot of shit, but I didn't deal with that, right? Like, it was, there was a couple of things I missed, right? But in any case, I had gotten, that's a long story. But the bottom line of it is that it ended up bringing me into a support group where mostly I was just looking, I was trading more, I didn't really want to get high anymore. I really didn't want to get high. You know what I mean? I didn't want to. It's so, you know, it's, I can't even explain the way the disease came and just like pulled a veil over my face and just distracted me from the dangers and like, it just like, it's like the siren call. It lulls you to sleep, you know, and it just had me looking the other way and just thinking, all I could think of was, I just want some relief. I just want some relief. I just want some relief. It's okay if I do this right now. Let me just have, I'll wake up later. I'll deal with that later. Let me just get some fucking peace now, you know, and that's the way the disease still works in my life. Let me get a little relief right now. And so, you know, I ended up at this support group, you know, for this health issue that I had. But mostly I was there because we were trading morphine patches and methadone and a lot of shit. And that's what I was doing. Like, I wasn't really, in my mind, because I had a head full of Narcotics Anonymous, I wasn't back in the Bronx, you know, shooting dope anymore. I wasn't even using syringes anymore because to me, I was like, if I do that, then I got to admit I'm powerless. Like, I'm not going to do that. So I did it for 3 years, right? This is how insidious the disease of addiction is, right? For 3 years, right? I could go and do, you know, the same, you know, suicide. Slowly, we were slowly committing suicide and lost the power to do anything about it. For 3 years, I could use every day. After having years of recovery and somehow make it okay that I wasn't really an addict. Like, how sick is that, right? It was crazy. But I did. I really did. Like, that's the way the disease works. To me, my disease is like I got a split mind. You know, part of my mind is just twisted and like does not think accurately or correctly. It's fueled that part. It's like I put these glasses on and these are the glasses of total self-centeredness. And that's how I see the whole freaking world, right? Everything. There's no hope and all I can do is protect myself, try to get safe, try to get comfortable. Like everybody's out to get me. I got a secure mind. Like that's the disease of addiction to me, right? And it is like it can look a lot of different ways, not just shooting dope, you know. Anyway, I end up at this place, at this support group, and there's this guy there who, you know, who even knows, right? I don't know how he ended up there, but he's got that light in his eyes. He's got that light in his eyes. And he spots me, and he knows who I am and what I am. You know what I mean? So he gets me after the support group meeting, And he starts 12-stepping me. Like, not in a, you know, when I say, like, people have lots of different connotations of what 12-stepping is, whatever. To me, like, seeing the light in his eyes and his willingness and his effort to give a shit about me and to say, you know, to say, we're still here, like, maybe you want to come to a meeting. You know what I mean? That saved my life. That saved my life, right? Because I didn't stop using right away after that, but I got myself back to an NA meeting because it woke up that spirit that was so dead. It was, it's so all but dead, right? Because that's the way the disease worked on me, right? In my mind, in the past, I used to think the disease is progressive, incurable, and fatal. And so that always meant that because I was, you know, shooting dope in Harlem when I was 19, that meant that if I was going to use again, that I was going to be, you know, shooting dope in my neck in, you know, some other part of New York, right? I thought that's what progression meant. I didn't know that what progression means is that my glasses get thicker and they get a little bit like those little side things like the old people get, so you can't fucking see out the side anymore. So it's like all of a sudden I'm like stuck. I get like, okay, I'm stuck in this prison of self-centeredness and I can't see the truth because I'm so far away from it, you know? And that's, to me, like that's still today what is the most powerful message of recovery. There's lots of people I know, and I do get impressed with people who are able to articulate this stuff. I do, right? I appreciate that because that's the way my brain thinks, and it helps me when somebody's good. But I also recognize that it's a temptation for me because it's one of the ways that, like, I can't spot my own self-deception, and I will deceive myself with intellect all the time. Thinking that if I know enough, I'm safe. I don't have to. The disease is always tempting me to think, just learn enough, and then you don't really have to ask God today. You can go a couple days, right? Wow. It's like, let's skate really hard, really hard, work really hard, and then cruise, right? Let's just cruise. And I don't know why, because it's such a beautiful thing to check in every day. Why do I resist that? I don't know. I guess because that's part of the disease. I really don't know. I look at some other people here, like, you know, I can't even tell you, some women here that, like, it's such an amazing thing to be connected here and to run into people and listen to speakers and have conversations with people who wake up my spirit when I didn't even know I was sleeping, right? I'm not sleeping in a freaking coma like I was before. But I nap all the time. I nap all the time. You know what I mean? My spirit is always looking for the easy way out. I always feel like I'm okay enough. I'm okay enough. I say my prayers. And at the same time that I feel like I'm okay enough, I'm also still over here trying to figure everything out and try harder and do, you know what I mean? Trying to secure it. Like, it's crazy. I'm such a, you know, I so need restoration, you know? And coming here and getting that restoration, being able to hold on to a few things in my life, having been here for a little while, like I have so far to go. I'm so sick still, but I've come so far from where I started. I've got so much more freedom than I ever imagined that I could. And most of that was not passed on to me by people who were perfectly able to articulate, you know, recovery from the disease of addiction. Most of it, for me, was passed on from people who gave a shit enough about recovery and about our message, right? Our message does have promise. Somebody was, Becky was talking last night, we don't have any promises. We do. We're like, we have free, you know, we have that an addict, any addict, and any addict means not just like, a lot of times people think any addict means, you know, even the ones that were, you know, scraping bottom, even the ones that were eating out of garbage cans. Well, we know those addicts belong here, but a lot of times people disqualify themselves because they don't think their bottom's low enough, right? Those addicts can still do it. The relapsers who've had clean time and can't make it back, those addicts can still get it. Like any addict, right? It isn't up to me, like, to determine. Like, this is available for everybody, you know? It is available for anybody who wants it. Any addict can stop using, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live, right? For the most part, I've lost the desire to use. I won't say that there aren't occasions when I really, really wish. I don't tickle that thought anymore, you know what I mean? I don't, like, you know, when I get that feeling of, like, life sucks or this is hard, it's too hard, that's a big one for me. When things get hard, when it's really too hard and I forget how to access that power that's available to me, then I just want to break. 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 You know, then I'll forget and I'll think, man, I could really, you know, it'd be good to be high right now. For a second, I'll think that. I don't know if that ever goes away, you know, but I don't really have the desire to use, you know what I mean? I don't want to use anymore. Miracle of miracles. I really don't want to use. For years, I came in here and I wanted to use, and I just didn't because I knew what the consequences were. But I don't even want to use. I want to wake up. I am tired of sleeping. I got one shot at being on this planet as the person that I am now. Maybe I'll come back. Who knows? I have no idea how that crap works. But I know that for me, you know, life is precious and this is my one shot. And I've been blessed over and over and over again. I should be dead 100 times over for 100 different reasons. And I think, I don't waste my time worrying about why I'm not dead. I just try to suck all the juice out of life that I can in this one day. And at the same time, I got this disease trying to say, just take a nap today. Just take a nap today. You can live tomorrow. Seriously. Like, it still does that to me. And that is, you know, what keeps me alive. My 12th step is reciprocal, right? It is the people who have that life, that light in their eyes, that are living this program, they don't have to say a freaking word. Being in their presence makes me wake up, right? Being in their presence wakes up that spark inside of me that says, oh shit, Dev, you've been napping again too long, you know? And it's the same thing that I try to do you know, my greatest form of service at the moment and has been for a while is sponsorship. Like, I take it seriously, and I've been blessed lately with having some newcomers in my life that it's been a long time since I sponsored pretty brand newcomers, and it's been such a great gift. It's been such a great gift. Like, I have a lot of women in my life that I sponsor that have, like, you know, a couple, you know, like a decade clean. I have like 4 women in my life that have 10 years clean, and they're freaking snapping, and I feel responsible. I feel responsible. I feel like, shit, I didn't give them a good enough example, so now they're napping. But that's not my shit. You know what I mean? When I wake up, I try to say, hey, I've been sleeping. Want to come with, like, well, let's wake up. And I can't control the way the disease works in somebody else. I do the best I can on any given day. Living, like it talks about, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. I keep trying to do my, you know, I keep trying to grow my spirit. You know, notice when I've got the self-centered glasses on, take them off, wake up my spirit to the best of my ability using these steps. There's lots of other stuff. There's lots of other stuff. Jesus, I didn't talk about anything I thought I should, but I'm sure my time is up, right? It is, it's Sunday morning, and I don't want to go on and on and on, right? Todd said that to me this morning. I'm sure it was a hint. He was like, you know, I'm notoriously a short Sunday morning speaker because it's Sunday morning, and it's been a long weekend. And I'm like, yeah, okay, what are you trying to say? So, but he knows because I get excited about recovery. Like, it may take me a second to get started, but once I start, it's hard to shut me up, you know? But it's a beautiful thing, and I honestly didn't say a single thing. I got all kinds of great, my glasses over here are saying, geez, I had all these great things to say about the 12th step, and you didn't say barely anything. But I think I said the most important thing, which is, to me, having had a spiritual awakening, my spirit isn't in a coma anymore. It takes a lot of naps, you know, but it isn't in a coma anymore. And when my spirit is awake, it can reach another addict in a way that nothing else can. No words, no nothing. You know, that unconditional love and attention that we give each other, that heals us and brings us back to life. That's been my experience, and that's what I try to give back, you know. And that's probably all I can say. So thanks for letting me share, and thanks for being here so early. I love you guys. Thank you for this.
Thank you. Such a wonderful morning. Now I can shut it off.